things of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the wonderful work you did at Calvary in reconciling us unto you, dealing with sin that separated us from the life and love of God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this work of redemption. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses, that deals with sin, that has cast it away as far as the east is to the west. And you have worked within us and made us a new creation. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your mighty hand over our lives. And we commit this time now into your hands. We thank you for drawing us together tonight in fellowship. And Lord, we pray and desire above all that this word glorifies your name now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I want to talk tonight, as we're going over the deeper life teaching and principles, and of course the foundation of this is faith, and we're going to talk about faith this evening, and the title for our teaching is All Limits Are Taken Off Our Faith. All Limits Are Taken Off Our Faith. And I want to basis tonight from Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. That's really what I want to look at. You probably have read this many, many times, and it's very challenging what the Lord says here. But this is from Matthew 19, chapter 19, 23 and 24. And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized." Sorry, I'm looking at the chapter 20, forgive me, 19, verses 23, 24. Sorry about that. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Then his disciples heard this. They were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And this is the verse 26, that we're really looking at this evening. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's what he says with regard to faith. Now, Jesus reveals in this context, this is dealing in many ways about discipleship. It's about the new birth. That with our faith, all things are possible. We know this because Jesus challenged the rich young ruler, who was very rich, and he challenged his wealth. And he showed that his wealth would not get him into the kingdom of God. But to give up all affection, all desire for all these worldly things that we depend on or build our life upon has to go, has to be given up in our heart. It is the motive, in other words. And so, of course, he's challenging here. He's challenging all the people that listen, who follow him. He was constantly challenging their motives. Have you come out to the wilderness? Are you following me because you need your bellies filled or because you want to be healed? Many times the Lord was challenging their motives, and this evening the Lord does again through the Holy Spirit. He challenges our motives, because our motives can get in the way if they're not godly. If they're worldly, they're sensual, or they're based on self, my needs, my wants, what I want. You see, when we're born again, it is a complete giving up of all affection and desires of the things of this world. That is what being a new creation is, has not only been made right with God in standing, but also it is the Holy Spirit delivering us in our attitude, in our minds, in our thinking. He's delivering us from self. That is why he presents the cross, because the cross deals with self, that selfish life, we putting self first in everything. It is what we call the denial of self, that willingness to give up self for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of God, your brother, your sister, so that you are free to serve. And in that serving, it frees you to be able to also believe. A lot of our hindrances in faith are based on the fact that self still gets in the way. We say to ourselves, well, I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm told that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word. I'm doing all of that. But is self still a big problem? Am I still putting myself above God's kingdom, God's will in my life? And only the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and ears and heart to that problem. And he will, in time, as we stay with it, as we stay with the Word, he will show us those areas where we're still putting self, our needs, our desires, with faith. Because faith must be a mustard seed. But that mustard seed of faith, which is very minute and small, must be holy, pure, in God's sight. And he's doing that. Now, one of the great revelations of the deeper life is exactly what our title says this evening, that all limits are taken off our faith. In other words, all limits are taken off to believing God according to his word, his promises. That is profound. That is mind-boggling. And very few actually attain to even believing that. We still put limits on our faith. Yes, what if? That all has to go if we are to fulfill what Jesus says here. Because he clearly reveals this is impossible with man. This is impossible to assimilate and understand this with the mind intellectually. This is why the Word of God is revelation to us. And we have to receive it in revelation, according, of course, to the Word of God. And this revelation by the Spirit, the unction, the anointing, feeds the inner man. It feeds the heart. It's that sowing of the seed, the parable of the sower, which we talk often about. It has to be supernatural for that work to be done, because your faith is supernatural. It is not a natural faith. depending on common sense or man's capability or what man is good at doing and working with his hands or whatever it is. Yes, we can have faith in that. We can have faith in our bank balance, that I've got a certain amount of money in the bank there. So I use that for a rainy day. I've got faith in that. That's what we're getting delivered from. Those mindsets that we have been so doctrinated about over our lives. That's what we're getting delivered from. So that we're coming into that place where our faith is supernaturally imparted. It's a revelation of God's will to my life. Now I have that new birth. I now am a new creation. This teaching we're talking about tonight is for those who are new creations. If you're still in the old Adam, the first Adam, you will never understand this. The Apostle Paul makes that completely clear when you read 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. You will never understand this. But if you are truly born again by the Spirit and you are that new creation, then something within you is quickened by God's word, the anointing, that revelation that you hear, that you read from the word of God. And he says, all limits are taken off our faith. If you can believe, all things are possible. They're not my words, they are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Challenging man to believe, to come and follow him. That is still the message of today, and it changes not. Men in pulpits are trying to change it, but the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It is assured. And it's that we grow by and anchor our faith upon. So our faith can believe for all things, because all things are possible. So the disciples raise the question. We look at it again, verses 25-26. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Because the Lord is throwing up every natural obstacle so that man cannot be saved by his wealth or his good works or how much he prays, or how much he knows the word of God. He's thrown up every obstacle against that. In other words, he's challenging religion. Religion can't save you. Only a real, living, live relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can, which enables you supernaturally to be born again, a new creation. So when they hear this, they are astonished at his saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. And that means the revelation of his word from Genesis to Revelation. When you open the Bible and you read the word, you read the promises, they are all possible to attain, to believe, to receive, to experience. What, in heaven? No, here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's speaking now, today. He's speaking to you, me, now, this moment, that all things are possible to them that believe. And it's that believing that is still the challenge, isn't it? Because Jesus leaves it with the decision over us, whether we choose to believe or not. You see, faith is on God's terms. And this is where we go so wrong. And this is why we are learning, as we are being changed, we're learning God's ways with regard to faith. Not our ways, not what I want or what I think, but God's ways with regard to faith. And that is why he's teaching us. And that is why he's challenging us, that all things are possible to them that believe. So he's teaching us his ways with regard to faith, because a lot of us get it wrong. Now, the idea of this word possible in the Greek is an interesting word, because it actually means mighty. It means strong, powerful. That is what that word actually possible means. So this believing with God, where God, all things are possible with God, it is a mighty work and act that he does. He is strong. He is all powerful. It is himself working in you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. It is working in you and me to believe, to meet the conditions of faith. So it is a work of the Holy Spirit right from the beginning, right to the end. And all he ever asks of us is to simply believe with that simple childlike faith. That is all he asks. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to work. And he will begin to work with us, delivering us, changing us, so that the conditions of faith can be met in our lives. This is why we don't rush faith. This is why some are waiting. Some are waiting for their healing, their deliverance. Some are waiting on finances or manifestations. We take that from Mark 11, 23. Because God is working that. It is a process. This is why deeper life is about deliverance. The deliverance often is just a different mindset, a changing of the mind, a rethinking. That's often the deliverance behind this. Because we know that the battle is in the mind. And that is where the enemy attacks so often. He knows. This is why he attacks your mind. Because he knows the power of believing. He knows that this word possible, all things are possible with God, means power, strong, mighty. It means it's God doing it, working it in you. And all he asks, that we simply believe. And yet, to simply believe, we can make so many excuses. We can so argue ourselves out of believing. Or I don't feel like it today. Or I'm not in the mood for believing. Or whatever it is, because we can be so swayed by emotions, by feelings. Or we can be swayed by what other people are saying. Because you see, to believe God sometimes can look foolish, ridiculous. And we like to appear and look respectable. Well, this is where the cross comes in. This is where relationship comes with the Lord. We're willing to let those things go by and by. All that matters is glorifying the Lord. All that matters is that I am believing for the impossible. That's what God wants from the sons of God. To start to believe for the impossible. Because that's what we're being trained for. We're coming into the greater works. And the greater works is impossible in the natural. And that's what he wants us to believe for. He wants our faith to reach out beyond our own needs. My wants. My new car or my home. The salvation of my family, my loved ones. All of that has a place. But Jesus said, just seek the kingdom and all those things will be added to you. This is bigger. This is seeing the greatness of God. Bigger than FGA. Bigger than your life, your world. We are so locked in at times, in ourselves, inward looking. But this will not let you be that. If you're really grasping what the Holy Spirit is saying this evening. You see, faith is not possible with the will. Faith isn't possible with just your natural desires. Faith isn't possible with just intellectualism or masses of studying. Faith isn't even possible with a consecration or self or self-denial. All of these things we've tried to do to make our faith work. Doesn't work that way. It works on the basis of simply believing. Not questioning. If that's what Jesus says, that is what the Word of God says. Amen. I believe it. And then God will set to work so that you are believing it. Not in the head, but in the heart. Because that dropping that 18 inches from the head to the heart is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. He's doing that right now with some of us as we're listening to this teaching. He's dropping it from the head to the heart. Jesus also revealed setting your heart on riches. On things of the world, which hinders your faith. It hinders your believing. As Jesus said to the young ruler. And he was saying this for a reason. Because there are so many things out in the world that is trying to draw us away from believing. To get us to trust in the arm of the flesh. To get us to look at new things. Technology. We're living in an age now, this last 50 years, where the breakthrough in things, technology, you name it, has surpassed even man's mind and thinking and imagination, what we have and what is coming out in the future. We have never seen anything like it over these last 50 years. What is the point of having faith and believing when you've got all of that out in the world? You've got everything at your disposal and that you need. And yet here we are. The Lord is showing in this last generation that he is going to deliver and raise a people up who will have a total, complete faith in trusting God. How can that be achieved? Well, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Here it is. This word possible. It's strong. It's powerful. It's mighty. It's the very might of God, the Word of God that spoke the world into being, that created you and I. That same power is the power working on your behalf, my behalf, to believe. That is how important this is, brothers and sisters. And this is why we're not to set our hearts on the things of this world, the riches, the allurements, the advertising. You don't have to look for it. It's bombarding you all the time, wherever you go. While you have it on your screen, before you, on your computer, you've got things coming up all the time, advertising, all the while. You can buy this, have this. It's around us. And this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential, so that we are empowered to rise above all of these things that try to hold us back in the carnal, in the flesh, in the natural mind. We're rising above all of this, brothers and sisters, because this is what faith does. Now, the power of God saves us. And he saves us out of our lusts, our worldliness, our wants, self, me. He saves us from. And that is what salvation is about. When you become a new creation, you are saved from this world, the spirit of this world, the deception, the lies of this world. Everything that would try to hold you in this world, you are saved from through the new birth. And that's why I'm making much of this tonight, brothers and sisters, because we need to go over some of these things that we forget. What the new birth has done in our lives. And this is why we can believe this tonight. This is why we can rejoice that all things are possible to them that believe. He has made it possible. How do we know? We have the revelation of his word and all these promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus in his word. That's why. So he has saved us from all of that that would hold us back. That faith to be born again reveals that all limits are taken off me. That is what the new birth salvation is about. That all worldly limits are taken off me. Don't often hear that, do we? It's just about making it into the kingdom of God and casting sin away as far as the east is to the west. Indeed it is. But it's infinitely more than that as well. And that is the whole point. He saves us to believe in him. And our faith to believe and to be born again real reveals that all those limits have been taken off me, where doubt, unbelief, depression, all of those things that the devil would try to hold me down by have been removed if I choose to believe. Now, God, of course, does all of this in his right time and way, and that is our problem. We're not very good at waiting, but you see, with God, he's in no rush. The way God is working with you and me, it is a delicate, long, arduous work. But he is doing it. And that is why faithfulness, long-suffering, is so paramount to this walk. You see, that is the deeper life teaching. You see, we know the conditions have to be met, which can include stepping out of the boat. A lot of the times, the conditions of faith is, are you going to step out of the boat? Have you heard the word come? Notice there was only one that stepped out, and we know, of course, who that was. And he stepped out, Peter stepped out. The rest remained in the boat and watched. And so often that is what happens, isn't it? It takes one to step out because they have believed that all things are possible to them that believe. And even Peter began to allow unbelief to come in as he looked at the storm, and so he started to sink. And the Lord admonished him. There's a good lesson, isn't it? You see, the storms, the waves, the natural, here it is, which he was delivered from. He began to look at it. See, the new birth has delivered us from the storms. It's delivered us from the waves. It's delivered us from the lies and the deceits of the enemy. It's delivered us from fear. It's delivered us from all those things that stop us from walking on the water supernaturally by faith. And yet we still look at it. And the moment we look at it, we become influenced by it. And when we become influenced by it, we become confused. Confusion is a huge problem to believing God's word. And it's how the enemy works. When your eyes are totally fixed on Jesus, who is the living word, you will hear him say, "Come." That is his word to us. And the next minute, we then look at those big waves and that big storm that's coming up. Oh no, I don't think I'll come today. I'll come when it's on a brighter day and it's a bit calmer. That's how we think. That's how we talk ourselves out of it. But he has said, all limits are taken off our faith. Do we want that? Does that burn within our heart and spirit? Lord, whatever it takes, work that within me. Because that's what makes an overcomer. When we acknowledge our weaknesses, when we acknowledge there's still fear that hinders my faith, there's still logic that gets in the way, confusion. An overcomer will rejoice in what they're hearing tonight, even though we've heard it many times, because we know it's true. Because if this isn't true, if this cannot lie with God, then we might as well all go back into the world and forget it. But it is true, because we have the word of God, sealed by the blood of Jesus, that confirms that these promises are as real today as they were when Jesus spoke them, those 2,000 years. So God is working, getting the conditions of believing faith. He's working, removing those hindrances that would hinder our faith so that we start to step out from that boat. You see, the Holy Spirit must lead and direct with actions of faith. So when Peter responded to that word, "Come," the Holy Spirit was working in him to do that. It wasn't just a good idea. It wasn't just a bit of fun. Well, I'll try this, see if it works. No, that was the Holy Spirit taking the initiative, working through that man to walk supernaturally on water. And this is what he does. So he doesn't leave you alone with your steps of faith. Isn't that a blessing? That the Holy Spirit is with you right there, taking that step of faith. Not only there, but he's gone before and prepared the way for you. See, Peter couldn't see that the Lord had already gone before and prepared the way, because the Lord was already walking on water himself. And yet he's there. And that's why the Holy Spirit must direct us, direct our actions, our faith for the last days. And as I bring this to a conclusion, we'll read something very familiar that we know well, Romans 8. And I believe we're going to see this in a different light tonight. Romans chapter 8, and we'll take it from verse 1. This is the message for the overcomers, for those who are going to get out of the boat and walk supernaturally. But it cannot be done unless the Holy Spirit is sovereign, doing the work beforehand. And here it is. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here it is, walking. What is this walking? It's walking by faith. You can walk in the flesh, and you can believe in the flesh, the things of the flesh, which sadly a lot of professing Christians do. But that's what God is delivering us from, that believing of the things of the flesh. It's so that we walk by the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So Christ, having fulfilled the law, the demands of the law, he became that sin offering. He took the guilt of our sin upon his flesh. He has released us from the law, from the flesh, from the carnal, from the devil's ways and thinking, so that we might walk a new walk of faith. In many ways, it's interpreted as a higher walk, a higher plateau, above what you walked before. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that is why you have to walk by faith. Because by walking by faith is walking in the Spirit. Flesh is unbelief, bondage, law. It brings you back under the first Adam. We're not under the first Adam. We're under the second Adam, who has triumphed, overcome the first, who's overcome death, who's now high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father. We're with him now by faith in that heavenly place. This is what he's saying. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And that's what the devil wants, and that is your warfare. That is what Satan tries to attack you every day, trying to bring your mind down to his level. To think and to act and rely on the worldly things that you see around you. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. He's showing us his word. He's guiding us in his word. That is what the Spirit is doing, so that you can live this. And to live this, he empowers you to do that. He knows it's not going to lie just in the teaching itself. But as we receive the teaching into our hearts, into that good soil, he's going to empower that so that you can rise above the flesh. Those things that would draw us down, to live above this. And walk above it and experience above it. That's what he's doing. That's what he's encouraging us to do. For to be carnally minded is death. That's what it will result in. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that is always one of the signs when you walk by faith, because it will always accompany the life of Jesus Christ in and through your life. And he comes as a peacemaker. Peace I give unto you. So faith is a rest. It's not a striving to believe. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And this is why our minds are being renewed. This is why we hand our minds over to him. Lord, hold the reins of my mind. Renew my mind, that I have the mind of Christ. And that is what he's doing. And he will do this, brothers and sisters. And he's doing it. Because this is absolutely paramount to our walk of faith. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Here is the Apostle Paul's faith confession speaking to the believers. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So it is the Spirit, the inner man, now that is being fed, exactly what he's doing tonight. And this will eventually affect your mind, your body, your all. And this is why you can say that he renews my youth like the eagles. He has set me free from this sickness and disease because the inner man is being fed. You've got the priorities right. You are being taught by the Spirit. You are walking in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit means that it is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. If you are criticizing and running people down and you have harsh words against particularly your brother, your sister, then you will be held in bondage, in sickness, in confusion, loss of peace. And then many Christians are bound by that because they refuse to forgive. They're holding grudges, bitterness, and so on. God will not have it. He will not have it. And he goes on, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. In other words, we're not feeding the flesh, the carnal, the natural. We're not looking to that. We're not depending on that. I don't need that. That's really what he's saying. We're not living the way of the world, acting like the world, dressing like the world, flirting with the world. Everything within us wants to be separated from it, to flee from it. That should be our heart and motive. And he goes on, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the Spirit that's baptized you, the power of God, can put to death those impulses, those things that you have depended upon. And that is why we take up our cross. That is why we are crucified with Christ, because it starts to put to death those things that we once craved for and what lusted for. You see. And that's how he does it, so that we rise above it. Because if he doesn't do this, and we don't do this, then you will not have that faith to believe, and you will never, ever see the limits of your faith coming off. You will only have a partial faith. You will only have a faith that will just go so far. And that's why some of us are frustrated. That's why some of us are wondering, why is it not happening? Because you've still got a faith that only just goes so far, because you're not willing to surrender and let go of the lot. But he's working that. He's working with our minds and hearts. He's not giving up on us, because he wants us to believe more than ever we do ourselves. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that is what the Deeper Life teaching is to make us sons of God for the last days. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also be glorified together. And so it goes on. There it is. Romans 8. That is the work he's doing. And Romans 8 is all about choice. You can decide whether you want what you read there to become a part of your life or not. But I can tell you, if you do, he will do that work. He will not give up. He will continue to work and work and work, removing all obstacles to our faith, until we come to a place where we experience and know that we have taken the limits off our faith. We've taken away the but. We've taken away the if, and so on. That simple childlike faith, believing that what God says, he is faithful and just, and he promises and he will fulfill, and so on. That is the ultimate work the Holy Spirit's doing with us, brothers and sisters. All limits are off to those who walk by the Spirit. Because you see, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in other words, he leads you and he does nothing contrary to his word. When you read the word and what the word tells you and informs you that by his stripes you were healed, that is not separate from the Holy Spirit who imparts the reality of that in your life. They are one, they all agree in the Godhead. This is not contrary to the Father's will. Anything but. You see? It's wonderful, isn't it, to know that when we read these promises and we may be challenged by them, we may raise questions, or why isn't this happening in my life, or why isn't this happening in the church, or whatever it would be, God never gets it wrong. It's because there's still that hardness of heart to believe. He still has got to work with these hearts, because it's easy to harden your heart. It's easy to hide, to make excuses. The heart becomes hard when you start to rely upon the world, the arm of the flesh, listening to man's logic, instead of being influenced by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, your heart starts to get hard. And that is a lot of the problem. And when there is a hard heart, it is difficult for the Word of God to get in and sow that seed within the heart. Because you see, faith to believe has to have that seed that is there. Jesus makes that absolutely clear. And that is why prayer, meeting God, getting in your closet, opening your heart up, bringing your heart out before him. And whatever's there and what if is in it, so that God can purify, that he can deal with it. That is our responsibility. And many, many times the Word of God can expose those the hardness that's in the heart. Sometimes it takes the Word to expose, I didn't see that like that. Yes, it's there. I knew there was a problem, but praise God, that Word has exposed today the problems that are in my heart. This is why I'm having problems believing. And he'll do that because he loves us. That is what his love, his presence will do through the Holy Spirit. He melts, he changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And that is the huge problem in Christendom. Hearts are hard. And this is why there's that refusal to forgive, holding on to resentments, angry with the husband, angry with the wife, angry with the children, angry with God. That is a big, big problem in the house of God. Just a lot of Christians are not humble enough to confess it, but they're really angry with God. It's a hindrance. So all of that has to go. And this is why we're being washed by the Word of God, that washes away these hindrances. Why? So that all limits are taken off your faith, my faith, to believe. And remember, brothers and sisters, as we finish, this isn't about us. This isn't about who's got the bigger faith out of all of us. This is for the glory of God, that Jesus may be glorified in his church. He may be glorified in this world, for he is the light of the world. And this is only going to happen when all limits are taken off our faith. And you know whether you want that or not. Father, again tonight, you have gone to the heart of the matter. You know how to go to the root. We all of us stand as we are before you, naked, in your presence. Father, please do not give up on us. Lord, whatever it takes to bring us to that place of believing, that simple childlike faith, Father, do it. Help us to see and experience that it's not about us. It's about you. It is about your glory. It is about sons that are being raised up now to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Give us that hunger, that thirst, that zeal, that desperation, whatever it takes to fulfill this in our lives, Lord. Because otherwise we will procrastinate. We will compromise. We will flirt with the world. We will side with it because it's easier. Lord, ever keep the cross daily in our minds and hearts a situation, that we decrease, that you increase, that we draw from the life of Christ who lives in us, that you've empowered us to be able to supernaturally walk in this life and to overcome in all things. And not only that, you've empowered us so that we can believe that all limits are taken off our faith. Father, we thank you tonight for this meeting. Thank you for bringing us together in fellowship, unity, oneness. Lord, I pray that you will be with all my brothers and sisters through this week. May they experience this word in their lives, not for themselves, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find secure.